In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. I understand that in social media there is groups of traditionalists and there's groups of sedevacantes, and they're apparently talking, and it was pointed out to me that among the sedevacantes they talk about Bishop Giles, and he is the one who thinks that he has authority. He has jurisdiction. And when I hear this, I think, well, yes, Bishop Giles has jurisdiction by the fact that he is a bishop. I have true succession in the line of the apostles, which goes back to our Lord himself, who said to the apostles, "All power in heaven and earth has been given to me. I give it to you. Go forth and preach to all nations all that I have taught you, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Those who believe and are baptized will be saved." That is my commission. When I was elevated to the episcopacy, the fullness of the priesthood, I made a vow that I would pass on to the next generation the doctrines of the Catholic Church, neither adding anything to them nor taking anything away. And yes, I say I have jurisdiction, because jurisdiction comes with the episcopacy. For the bishops are successors of the apostles, they are pastors. Every true bishop is a pastor. And if you want to go to dogma, it is very clear in dogma that the bishop has, I can't think of the term now, he has jurisdiction, ordinary jurisdiction, not delegated jurisdiction. He has ordinary jurisdiction. The bishop rules his diocese in his own name. He doesn't act on behalf of a pope. The pope does not give him jurisdiction. That jurisdiction is ordinary. A priest has his jurisdiction from the bishop. It is delegated. It is the bishop who gives jurisdiction to a pastor, a priest who is a pastor. He doesn't have ordinary jurisdiction. He has delegated jurisdiction. And this is, at least I thought, common Catholic understanding. It's the dogma, but apparently the common sense is not common anymore. That which people should know, they seem to be ignorant of. But what really confounds me, I guess, is the fact that there are many who call themselves sedevacantists, but say they don't have any jurisdiction. I'm a bishop, but I don't have jurisdiction. I says, you're a fool. Your actions say that you have jurisdiction because it requires jurisdiction to administer confirmation, to administer matrimony, to hear confessions. This all requires jurisdiction. And if you don't have it, then you should not be performing marriages. You should not be hearing confessions. You should not be having public mass because you don't have a flock. You're not a pastor. And if you're not that, if you're not a bishop, or if you don't have jurisdiction, then you're not a bishop. What are you? I don't know. How can you call yourself a bishop and say, I don't have any jurisdiction? And it puts me in mind of so many of the traditionalists who are in union, who are not sedevacantes, but are in union with Bergoglio in Rome. He is our pope. I say, if he's your pope, then obey him. You're not Catholic. You're a Protestant, a smorgasbord Protestant. You pick and choose to believe what you want to believe, you pick and choose to obey what you want to obey. He is your Holy Father. I say, obey him. And they say, oh, we don't have to obey him where he's wrong. I said, oh, then you have judged the Pope. Oh, nobody can judge the Pope. All those sedevacantists are the ones judging the Pope. I said, well, you're judging every word that comes out of his mouth, whether you want to obey it or not, whether he can legitimately tell you to do this or not. I ask you, just open up your basic catechism to the fourth commandment. What do we teach children about obedience to their parents? We teach them very clearly that they must obey their parents in everything except sin. They represent God. A true pope represents God. He is the vicar of Jesus Christ. And if he says to do something, you should do it. Out of obedience, unless he commands you to do something sinful. If he tells you not to do something, you should not do that. And you must think that we are blind when you say, oh, he's the Holy Father, but we don't have to obey him. He's not your Holy Father because you don't obey him. If he were your Holy Father, you would obey him. It is Pharisaical hypocrisy. And then, of course, you have these great theologians who obviously are much smarter than I am or have greater insight, and the Holy Ghost is guiding them better than me. And they will say, well, he's the material pope, but not a formal pope. And I say, it's absurd. You can't separate material from formal. They go hand in hand. If you separate the soul from a human being, you no longer have a human being. You have a soul and a corpse. And we make that simple distinction. And I say, if you take the formality away from a man who is the pope, he's no longer a pope. It is a logical distinction that we make between material and formal. It's not a real distinction. Because as soon as you make it real, you come up with absurdities, impossibilities. But these, I won't hesitate to say it, these Pharisees, modern day Pharisees, pretend to worship God with their lips, but their hearts are far from him. It is Pharisaical, it is hypocritical to say we're with the Holy Father, but we don't have to obey him. We don't listen to him. We don't do anything he says. We pray for the Holy Father, and we can't judge the Holy Father. Nobody can judge the Holy Father. But you judge everything he says. You judge and criticize everything he does. You're a deceiver. And I asked you, who is the father of deceivers? It's not Jesus Christ. It's not the Holy Ghost. You are children of your father, the devil, Lucifer, Beelzebub. He is the father of lies, half-truths, confusion, and scandal. I don't want to be the only one. Yet that's what people point and say, oh, you want to be the only one? No. I want everyone to be Catholic. I want the whole world to convert and be Catholic, to hold on to the truths that our Holy Mother, the Church, have passed on to us. Not just what feels comfortable, not to pick and choose what we want like Protestants, So yes, I am sede vacantist. I say the see of Peter is vacant. It is empty. Not that there's a body there and somehow that body is the Pope, but we don't formally have a Pope and his soul is not there. If the soul's not there, it doesn't matter what body is sitting on the physical chair. When we're talking about the papacy or the see of Peter, we're not talking about the physical chair. Yes, there's a physical chair, and some man can sit on it, but that doesn't make him the Pope. A dog could jump up and sit on it. That doesn't make him a Pope. What makes him a Pope? Well, first of all, he has to be Catholic. Second of all, he's supposed to be the Bishop of Rome and have universal jurisdiction. He is the vicar of Christ. And as the vicar of Christ, he is protected by the Holy Ghost from pronouncing any error in matters of faith, morals, doctrine. And yet the world points out, oh, he said this wrong, that's heresy. He said this wrong, that's heresy. Oh, that's schism, this is that. And you can point out, and I get it, he's watched under a close scrutiny by the social media because of the internet age. And I get that most of what he says is probably taken out of context, but I think there is sufficient enough truth to so many of these articles that it is evident he's not Catholic. And of course, you'll have tradition say, oh, he's the Pope, but he's a heretic Pope. It's nonsense. If you're a heretic, you are cut off from the mystical body of Christ. You are cut off from the church. You have no life in you. A heretic who is cut off, who is not Catholic, cannot be the head of the body he's cut off of. It's illogical. But we hold on, our traditionalists hold on to this foolishness because they don't want to face the simple, honest truth. He's not a Pope. We are in dire straits. Everything is not well in the world. And the church is being reduced to fewer and fewer day by day. What the Protestants, the non-Catholics don't tear away, the Novus Ordo, the modernists lead astray. And what the modernists haven't led astray, the sede vacantist or the traditionalists have led astray. And what the traditionalists don't get, then the sede vacantist groups are going to tear them away with some kind of foolish idea. And I heard one layman say many years ago, people ask him in conversation, do you think you're smarter than these priests? Do you think you're smarter than these bishops? Do you think you're smarter than the Pope in Rome? And this simple layman said, no, I don't think I'm smarter than them. And that's what really scares me. They have to know what they're doing. They're not acting out of ignorance. They're not fools. They are demonically intelligent. They know exactly what they're doing. And they're destroying the church. And I say so many people are falling for these lies of the devil. The devil puffs them up with their pride and vanity and then a false humility. Oh, did you see what Pope Francis said? Did you see what Pope Francis did? Oh, but we can't judge the Pope. He's a heretic, but we can't judge him. You just did. And now you're pretending through some kind of false humility? You're not fooling God. And I dare say you're not fooling anyone with common sense. I do hope for your own sake that you perhaps have fooled yourself and maybe you can claim some kind of ignorance. You have some kind of intellectual defect that will be your excuse when you stand before the throne of God. I don't want to see you in hell. I want you to repent and turn to the true church. And I can't for the life of me understand why laity cling to these groups. Why would you go to a group of traditionalists whose bishop says, "Oh, Holy Father, and we pray for the Holy Father, but he's a heretic and we don't do anything that he says. We do what we want." Oh, we're in negotiations with that heretic pope. I feel sorry, compassion for so many lay people follow such idiocy. And it gets only more idiot-like if you continue down this path of traditionalism. And it seems as time goes on, things just compound and they get worse. Among the traditionalists, "Oh, you are a sede vacantist, and now we've got sede privation, whatever, and we got all these theories of how we can say, Holy Father, but you're not the Pope, and we don't have to listen to you. Oh, we can go on and ordain priests, and we can act like we have jurisdiction, but we're going to pharisaically pretend that with a false humility, oh, I don't have any jurisdiction. I don't have any authority. I don't have any power." You're a liar. If you don't have any authority, why do you act as if you have authority? If you don't have any power, why do you act as if you have power? If you don't have jurisdiction, why do you act as if you have jurisdiction? You are a liar, a deceiver. And it seems crystal clear to me, and I think, did any of these ever pick up a dogma book? Did they ever study these things in a seminary? Did they go to a seminary? How did they get where they are? Who appointed them? Who ordained them? And another thing that just baffles me is that every priest upon his ordination puts his hands in the hand of the bishop and he promises, "I will obey you and your legitimate successor." He promises holy obedience. But yet I understand in so many traditionalist circles, there's always a great number of those in the ordination class who right after they're ordained split and go off their way and do whatever they want and they become independent priests. There's no such thing in the Catholic Church as an independent priest. The independent priest has absolutely no jurisdiction. He has sacramental orders, maybe, if those weren't invalidated by some other reason, but assuming he has sacramental orders, he has no one to exercise those sacramental orders over. He doesn't have a flock. He doesn't have ordinary jurisdiction. He needs a bishop to say, "Here, you may minister to this flock. I authorize you in my name to absolve in the confessional. I authorize you in my name, a successor of the apostles, to perform marriages, to administer the sacraments. You are my representative, the representative of the bishop, of the successor of the apostles. You're not independent. You cannot be independent. Every Catholic must be subject to his pastor. Every pastor must be subject to his bishop. And they will say, well, then every bishop must be subject to the Pope. And I said, yes. No argument from me. Every bishop should be subject to a true Pope, not a false one. And he shouldn't make claims that, oh, yes, I obey him, but I don't obey him. I don't have to do what he says, but I obey him. I pray for him. That's hypocrisy. That's a lie. And I don't know how to make it any simpler than that. And I am truly baffled that the greater the lie, the more people flock to it. I would never believed it until you begin to see it with your own eyes. People believe the lie. The bigger the lie is, the more boldly it's stated, the more people will flock to it. And then they will put on a false humility. Oh, I can't judge the Pope. Nobody can judge the Pope. You've already judged the Pope. If you haven't, then you should be going to his churches. If you are with Bergoglio, alias Pope Francis, you must be subject to the bishop who is in union with that Pope. The bishop that has ordinary jurisdiction over your diocese that you live in, you belong to that bishop. And then you must look. The bishop has appointed a pastor over this parish. So if you live within this parish, within this defined jurisdiction, you must go to this parish, and this priest appointed by your bishop is your pastor. None other. And if you want to go, I don't know what the modern canon law says, but the old canon law says your Easter duty to receive Holy Communion during the Easter season, your obligation to confess your sins at least once a year. That's not just to anywhere you want to go or to anyone you want to confess to. That belongs to your pastor. And if you go to confession to someone else, you need to make sure your pastor knows that you went and fulfilled your obligation, because he has an obligation to make sure that you fulfill your obligation as a Catholic or you don't receive the sacraments. How is he going to know? Oh, well, I can tell him. And he has to just believe you? Your pastor, your priest that the bishop has appointed must know you face to face. That's his job. And you must answer to him, but you don't. You've rejected your local parish, your modernist parish. You've rejected it. By rejecting that, you've rejected that priest who is appointed to be the pastor of that church. And rejecting that priest, you have rejected that bishop of the diocese. And rejecting that bishop of the diocese, you've rejected that pope that that bishop of the diocese is in union with. It is simple, straightforward logic. Everything else, as our Lord said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything else is from the evil one. If you are with Bergoglio, the alias Pope Francis, I say you must go to your local modernist church. You must obey your local modernist pastor, priest that has been appointed over you. You must obey the bishop of the diocese in that church. And I have more respect for laymen who follow that and go to their modernist church They are more respectable than all of these traditionalists who say, "Oh, Holy Father," but do nothing to obey him. We pray for him. And I have the least respect for those who say, "Oh, we're sede vacantes, but we don't judge the Pope, and he's materially the Pope. So we recognize him as a material Pope, but not a formal Pope. Not a real Pope who has any authority over us, but we call him Holy Father because the whole world calls him Holy Father." To me, that is the height of hypocrisy. I won't dare say stupidity because I'm afraid they are not stupid. If they were, that would be a wonderful excuse for them. But I fear that they are very demonically intelligent and they know exactly what they're doing. And all I can say to them is, may God have mercy on your soul. May you wake up before it's too late. May you gain some integrity before you're lost for all of eternity. Benedictio de omnipotentis, Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.